Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I'm so very glad that you've taken time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2020. I hope you all had a great weekend. In contrast, had quite a stressful weekend. We had torrential rains here, about 3 inches of rain, it seems, within an hour here in Florissant. And as usual, I had to bail out my basement. The drain backed up and sewage and all kinds of good stuff. Up to 4 in the morning, just pulling water out of my basement with my wet vac and taking it up and emptying it. And finally, it cleared. But now I have the task with my friend, Chris. We need to completely mop down and bleach the basement to avoid any mold from growing. So it's been quite the weekend, but you know, I'm ready today. I'm ready to spend some time with you and talk about subjects related to Iran and my Iranian friends. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to talk to us about a very serious problem. It's an ancient problem, but nonetheless very serious problem that currently is plaguing the Jewish people all over the world. And of course, I'm talking about anti-Semitism. And I want to speak specifically this morning about the history of Iran and anti-Semitism, and also show how the Iranian people, before the revolution, were very instrumental in helping the Jewish people. Well, since the revolution, the breakdown of relationships between Iranians and the Jewish people has been perpetuated from a very strong political standpoint. Before the revolution, under the Shah, there was a good relationship between the Jewish community and the Iranian community. It was a secular time, of course. It was not a political religious atmosphere as it is today. And the Jewish people and the Iranian people enjoyed a wonderful relationship. But it was right after Khomeini, and it was right after the Islamic Revolution, that this relationship began to deteriorate most emphatically. I'm sure that all of us are aware of Ahmadinejad, the past president of Israel, past president of Iran, and his inflammatory remarks against the nation of Israel. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to center in on a specific promise in the Bible from God. Genesis chapter 12, verses 3 through 4. God says, "I will bless them that bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This was a very strong, emphatic promise to Abraham, saying, Abraham and your seed, the Hebrew nation, the physical heritage of his seed, I will bless them, anyone that blesses you and your nation, Abraham. But him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. A very important promise for all of us to abide by. Very simple. Bless Israel. Bless God's chosen people. You, in turn, will be blessed. But if you curse them, there's going to be ramifications. Well, what did President Ahmadinejad do during the time he was president of Iran? He made emphatic statements that they still, to this day, try to deny and try to say it was taken out of context. But he was very frank. He said, Israel must be wiped off the map. He made this claim several times. He also had a campaign of hatred that said the Holocaust is a myth. They invented the myth of the massacre of the Jews and placed it above Allah, religion, and the prophets. So this is what his claim was. He had a campaign of hatred towards Israel. And when he became president in 2005, he would talk about the nuclear program. And he said the goal of their recent nuclear buildup was, quote, to pave the way for the reappearance of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, who will make Islam the dominating force and religion in the entire world. Well, you can see the turmoil and the hatred brought on by Ahmadinejad. You can see his prediction that one day the Mahdi, which I like to call the Mahdi as the Islamic Antichrist, he will arise and there will be a great battle, but the Mahdi will introduce Islam as the only true religion to the world. Jesus will return and get married. Jesus will say to the world that he was never the Son of God, that he was just a prophet, and all of these churches and all of these teachings are false. And so the nuclear ambition is pursued yet to this day by Iran, because they believe that in the coming days there will be the 12th Imam. He will make an appearance. He has been hidden for centuries, but now he will appear and make Islam the dominating force. Well, very specifically, when we look at these claims, there is a prediction in the Bible in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, where God, speaking through the prophet Zechariah, prophesied that, quote, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. Well, you can see the chaos and the turmoil and the melting pot in the Middle East. And these words from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3 ring very, very true today. I want to talk about the current crisis with Iran and Israel. And if you've been following my program, you know I've been talking about the coronavirus that has swept through Iran, and thousands of Iranians have died. The things that led up to this crisis was there was the 41st anniversary of the Iranian Revolution. And the government wanted everyone to come out and, you know, make a display and show their solidarity and support for the revolution. And then there was a time where there was voting for members of parliament, and the government wanted them to come out and turn out and vote. Well, this was happening at a time when Iran knew fully well. They knew fully well that there was a COVID crisis, but because of their incompetence and because of their mismanagement, they allowed people to come out for the 41st anniversary of the revolution and also for voting, an election in parliament. And this caused and perpetuated the spread of COVID. And yet to this day, the government refuses to take any responsibility for the COVID crisis and its mismanagement. They have the highest number of reported deaths from any other country in the world. But what did they do with the crisis? What have they done, I should say? Instead of taking responsibility for incompetence and mismanagement, once again, the regime in Iran, the state sponsor of terrorism, is putting the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they are blaming them for the spread of the disease. Again, this is how anti-Semitism is so rhetorical. They engage in this all the time, always blaming the United States and Israel. And so this crisis has led the regime to engage in fantastical, outrageous conspiracy theories about the current pandemic that are deeply infused with their anti-Semitism. They claim that the disease is an attack on Iran by using genies and magic. That's their words. That COVID-19 is a part of an external biological attack on Iran by the U.S. with Jewish and Israeli assistance. And that the virus is a part of a Zionist plot to gain global power. Iran's supreme leader Al Khamenei delivered a major annual speech on March 22nd, a few months ago, in which he emphasized, quote, that Americans are being accused of creating this virus, and even claimed there are enemies who are genies, and there are enemies who are humans, and they help one another. The intelligence service of many countries cooperate with one another against us. Now, the supreme leader did not explicitly identify Jews or Israels in regard to this, but his own office clarified the point. Khamenei's official website elaborated on his speech by posting remarks from a cleric who explained, quote, there is no doubt that the Jews and especially the Zionists previously have a long history of supernatural affairs and matters such as a relationship with the devil and genies and Israel's spy agencies who undoubtedly take advantage of these matters. Now, the Cyber Warfare Division of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps posted Khamenei's speech, and it was followed by an updated television clip from Iran's state-run youth-oriented Channel 3. And the clip featured another cleric asserting that, quote, the Jews are experts in sorcery and in creating relationships with demons, and that Israel wanted to use demonic force to infiltrate the intelligence systems of Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas. And they go on. This regime's propaganda has spread the baseless allegation that COVID-19 is the result of a biological attack by outside forces to weaken Iran by the U.S., Israel, or Zionists are Jews. It's a biological, ethnic weapon. So again, this is an example of the anti-Semitic rhetoric lobbied against Israel and the Jewish people that's been going on since the start of this revolution. It never existed before, but it has been going on now. What I want to do is I want to quote from an article right now from the Institute of Capacity Building for Political Studies, or ICBPS. It's a great article, and it talks about the Iranian people in the past that have been great supporters of the Jewish people. Again, this never happened until the revolution. The beginnings of Jewish history in Iran date way back to late biblical times. You can look at the biblical books of Isaiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and they contain references to the life and experiences of Jews in Persia. For instance, in the book of Ezra, the Persian kings are credited with permitting and enabling the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. And its decree was by the decree of Cyrus the Great and Darius and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. This great event in Jewish history took place about 6 BC. And that time there was a well-established and influential Jewish community in Persia. Now, in the 20th century, during the Pahlavi dynasty, which extended from 1925 to 1979, implemented modernization and these reforms, which significantly improved the life of the Jews. The influence of the Shia clergy was weakened, and restrictions on Jews and other religious minorities were abolished. Reza Shah the Great prohibited the mass conversion of Jews and eliminated the Shiite concept of ritual uncleanness of non-Muslims. And regarding these decisions, the modern Hebrew was incorporated into the curriculum of Jewish schools, and Jewish newspapers were established. Jews were also allowed to hold government jobs. This is, of course, before the revolution. In 1915, two Jewish brothers, Mordecai and Asher ben Avraham, opened the first Jewish newspaper in Iran called Shalom. And these changes moved the balance of power in the Jewish community from elders and rabbis to the youth. So you can see under the Pahlavi dynasty, there was a rich relationship between the Jews and the Iranians. Now, let's go back in time a little bit to Nazi Germany and the changing of Persia to Iran. In 1935, the Iranian government requested those countries, which it had its diplomatic relations with, to call Persia Iran, which is the name of the country now, of course. The suggestion for change is said to have come from the Iranian ambassador to Germany, who came under the influence of the Nazis. At that time, Germany was in the grip of racial fever and cultivated good relations with nations of, quote, Iranian blood. The history reports that some Jewish or German friends of the ambassador persuaded him that, as with the advent of Reza Shah the Great, Persia had turned a new page in history, had freed itself from the pernicious influences of Britain and Russia, whose interventions in Persia affairs had practically crippled the country under the Qajar's monarchy. So, in the same era, prior to Hitler joining, the Nazi Party held extreme nationalist, racial, and anti-Semitic Jews views. And after, of course, Hitler joined the party, he expanded upon and marketed these ideas. Hitler, of course, had a racist worldview. He believed that people could be separated into a hierarchy of different races. Some races were superior and others were inferior. Hitler, of course, believed that the German race was the superior race and called the German race Aryan. Hitler and the Nazis considered Jews to be an inferior race of people. And he set out to weaken other races and take over the world. Hitler believed, of course, Jews were particularly destructive to the German Aryan race, and they had no place in society. And so you understand the history of what happened in Germany. You understand the 6 million Jews that were killed in gas chambers because of Hitler's racist policy, because of what he thought about the Jewish people. They were somehow responsible for them losing World War I, but it was propaganda. Now, despite what was going on at that time, the Iranian diplomat, Abdul Hussein Sardari, who to this day is given the title Schindler of Iran, was responsible for saving Jews in Europe from the Nazis during this time. Thousands of Jews and their descendants owe their lives to this man who's dubbed the Iranian Schindler. Starting in 1942, Iran accepted over 116,000 Polish refugees, and some of them Jews, who were fleeing German and Soviet occupation. Abdul Hussein Sardari, of course, the Iranian diplomat living in Paris, what he did was he issued many passports to Iran, to Iranian and non-Iranian Jews, in the hopes of protecting them from Nazi persecution. He was very instrumental in doing this to save thousands of Jewish people and other Polish refugees. And so the world is thanking Abdul Hussein Sardari, who, like his predecessor, Oskar Schindler, was instrumental in saving the Jewish people. This is how Iranians in the past have treated the Jewish people, with respect and love and compassion. And so although there is a desperate history of discrimination to this very day by the Iranian government, the Iranian people love the people of Israel. I know this. I talk to them. I've sent them my books on the Holocaust, and they identify with the Jewish people. They don't have animosity or hatred like their government. And even though currently today there is anti-Semitism in Israel, as we look in the past and look at the rich history of the Jewish people in Persia, and we see Dul Hussein Sardari as an example of one Iranian diplomat who saved thousands of Jews, we see the Iranian people have always loved and shown respect and kindness to the Jewish people. It was only when this government came into power that that changed. So there is a rich history. When you look at the history in the Bible and in the history of World War II, you will see Iran's real attitude towards the Jewish people and how this government, this sadistic, evil government, has corrupted that true attitude. I want to take a song break right now from an artist, Joshua Waller, and he's talking about the rich Jewish history, and he's talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessing Israel. Let's listen.
There's a battle raging over a people and a land. Will you rage with the nations, or will you stand and say, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
For the kingdom,
say,
here is the Lamb of the Israel.
Covenants of Abraham, Isaac,
and Jacob. I shall plant them in their land, and they shall no longer be pulled up from the land I have given them.
I will bless those who bless you,
and I will curse those who curse you.
And in you,
all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he has commanded for a thousand generations.
We believe in the covenants
of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
In the sand, where will you stand?
What a powerful song, I Believe, by Joshua Waller. I like the way they structured that song, with the various biblical promises blessing the people of Israel and warning those that curse Israel, there will be very specific consequences. This morning on the Cross in the Desert, I've been taking a close look at the rhetoric and the anti-Semitism of the Iranian government and showing that in the past, the Jewish and Iranian people enjoyed a very special relationship. And under Reza Pahlavi, under the Shah, there was blessings and friendship and kindness toward the Jewish people. But all of this changed with the Islamic Revolution. And in 1979, and all of the things that happened with women and women's rights and the oppression of people, everything has changed. But what you and I can do is be an advocate and be a voice for the Jewish people, to be a voice for Israel, to bless them with our support, to stand with them, and to curse the anti-Semitism, the rhetoric, the violence against the Jewish people. We have a responsibility to support our greatest ally in the world. In the Middle East, there is no greater force for democracy than the nation of Israel. And so I know the Iranian people join me with this. We will stand with the Jewish people. We will support Israel, and we will be a voice against the terrorism, against Hezbollah, against Hamas, and all others that would curse and do harm to our Jewish friends. And so please join me in standing against this demonic spirit in the world that wants to bring harm and destruction to the Jewish people. And as we listen to the broadcast today, please pray, as the Bible commands us, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want to thank you this morning for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining me on this historical lesson about the Jewish people in Persia and how one man saved many in World War II, to Abdul Hussein Sardari. Thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.